Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I helped you out this morning. I cleared the whole desk off.
I noticed that. What's up with that?
I brought the chair over.
What is wrong? What is this?
I don't know.
You get wispy at your buddy's wedding the other day. Come in here. You move stuff off the desk. Move the chair.
I've got all. What happened? Well, I keep my inner circle very, very tight. And the people that are in there. This guy that got married's in there.
Right.
Because I see you every day. You're in there.
Okay.
So I like to take care of those people. No, the people that are on the outside of that, it's not like I'm mean to them. I just ignore.
Right.
Totally.
They don't exist.
I don't need any.
Right.
Of that.
Feel you.
So I take care of the inner circle.
Got you.
That's all.
Good to be there.
So I just wanted to make sure you're back.
Thanks for taking care of
me. I knew you flew back last night. You had a rough day.
Rough evening.
Flight got delayed. You weren't feeling well.
Little jinx.
I wanted to make sure everything was nice for you this
morning. Little jinx from you,
That's all.
Yeah, that's true.
That's
all. Thank you.
But I am back to full health.
Good.
Yesterday was.
You look slimmer.
Yeah, well, thank
about
you.
20 pounds lighter yesterday. Huh?
18, actually. 18, close. But I'll take 20. Yeah, that was it was a long day, but I'm back. And I was
welcome back.
Thanks, man. So last night, Monday Night Football. I don't want to totally ignore the Lions and what they've done early on in this season and how they played last night on the road. A team that on the road you can never trust. It's just one of those teams. The Steelers on the road are never the same. The Saints on the road are never the same. The Lions are always in that conversation of when they go on the road, they play poorly. But this, to me, was about the New York Giants. And I know that you were really high on them. I thought they were going to be pretty good. And they are putrid. And the worst part about their situation right now is the fact that how much is going to change for them the rest of the year? Now, they get Odell Beckham Jr. back. Everybody's fired up. It's the home opener for them. He's dancing in the pregame. This team's going to be back. That was the reason why the offense stunk last week, was no Odell Beckham Jr. And then Eli Manning comes out, and this offensive line gets all the blame. And no, they're not that good, especially at the tackle position. But Eli Manning has been atrocious these first 2 weeks. Even his touchdown pass to Evan Ingram, he's lucky Evan Ingram is as athletic as he is. The guy was wide open and have someone in a 10-yard radius around him and barely got the ball to him. And then the pick that he threw to Evan Ingram, clearly way behind him. Mm-hmm. Just a bad, bad throw. He's down at the goal line in the third quarter, lets the clock expire when they're going for it on fourth down. Probably should have kicked the field goal anywhere to make it 17-10, but he's down there. He can't even get the playoff with the clock right in front of him at home. So if you want to complain about their offensive line, that's the easy way out. But it's really, to me, it's about Eli Manning and the fact that this offense, led by him, has been atrocious.
It's across the board. Everyone can point the finger at themselves. And if you want to make good corn tortillas, you got to have some good corn. They have not. Up front, Eli hasn't been that consistent. You're right about the touchdown pass to Ingram. Ingram climbs the ladder and goes up and catches it. You got to get a little height on that ball. You got someone covering that seam, but still, that ball should be on the money. Now, there were some drops. Brandon Marshall, he threw a dime to Brandon Marshall down
terrible.
The sideline. Marshall just whiffed on that, but he is probably shell-shocked at this point, 2 games into the season. They can't run the ball to save them their lives, and I know last year they couldn't run the ball either. So maybe they should just get into spread formation. You got Odell Beckham back. Get into spread formation and just chunk it. Dink and dunk. Maybe that should be the way they go. Usually you run the ball to open up the passing game. Maybe they should flip that and try to pass the ball to open up the running game, because they have – but that being said, can they block long enough for – Eli Manning to get the ball off, or do they have to go through some quick hitters? I know they're scratching their heads over there as far as what should be our philosophy moving forward, because they cannot run to save their lives, and they can't protect the ball. And on the defensive side of the ball, you're without your best corner in Janoris Jenkins, so that doesn't help. You're without a very good young linebacker in B.J. Goodson. That doesn't help your defense. But still, you did enough. On defense, you give up at 17 points. The other touchdown was on the punt return. You do enough to keep your team in the ball game. Just no offense to speak of. And Odell Beckham Jr. made a couple of catches here and there, but he didn't really affect change down the field. But you look at Detroit, they wanted to bracket him. They double-teamed him. They made sure they focused on him. And they've got some good young players. You're right. They are up and coming.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And Matt Stafford, a lot of people said, why are you paying that guy that much money? Well, he's got something to prove, I think. I'm sure he's really happy with that contract. But with that contract comes a lot of responsibility and a burden, in a sense, to prove your worth. And I know that he wants to win, whether he's getting paid like the highest player in the league or not. But this team is a team that's pretty balanced on both sides of the ball, and certainly in a tough NFC North is going to have an uphill battle to get to the postseason, but a great start for them. And you're right about that running game. It's just disgusting. And when you see around the league all these rookie running backs and, you know, guys coming out of nowhere, third-round picks and fourth- and fifth-round picks, you know, Tariq Cohen of the Bears is a guy that you don't even see him in the preseason. He's a huge part of that offense. And the Giants with Paul Perkins and Vereen and Orleans Darkwa are doing, I mean, they're
great
doing
name.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I'm with you. What they should do, because I have much more faith in the pass catchers, and especially if Eli, this is where Ben McAdoo, if he's such an offensive genius, needs to tailor this offense to the strengths that they have and spread them out. Boom, dink and dunk. Make the running game something that catches you off guard. Run maybe a no huddle to make sure that the offense gets in some sort of rhythm. Because what they're doing now is so incredibly ineffective. It's all-time bad from the standpoint of scoring points in the first 2 weeks of an NFL season. They've scored fewer points. The stat, I had it. I should have written it down. But I think it's the fewest points in weeks 1 and 2 that an NFL team has scored since, like, 1983. In the first 2 weeks of the season. That's how bad.
You weren't even born.
Yeah, I was. 82. Oh. 82.
Wait, one?
Yeah, I was 1 year old.
See, yes. Good for you.
It's a great
That's why
year.
They're doing it now, so you can.
It's an awesome year.
Yeah, it was great.
No responsibility.
I just could poop all
right, wherever I wanted to, and it was okay and acceptable. I could cry and was not judged.
82. Yeah, it was a cool year. I was in high school. It was good.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
I think, no, junior high. That was junior high, yeah.
Man.
Still good.
Oh, I bet it
good
was
time.
For
got
you.
Got bust across town.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. That was, yeah. Once we got, you know, the races, we got found out we could coexist.
Oh!
Yeah.
That was going on there, huh?
Heck yeah, man. Come
awesome.
On.
Awesome.
Bring all them brothers across town. Come on.
You How know were you good. Received?
Not well at first.
Yeah.
No.
Figured
no.
As much,
yeah. There were some fisticuffs, but then now lifelong friends. Yeah, we're
Look at
all
that.
Cool.
Yeah. You're fighting and friends.
We worked it out.
A fracas and a friendship.
Yeah, exactly.
The story of getting busted across town in Lubbock area, Texas, in the early 80s.
Friendship.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Or death.
Right. So Eli Manning isn't just drawing our ire.
Nope.
How about Ben McAdoo, who last night decided to take his opportunity in front of the media to basically call out his future Hall of Fame quarterback who's got a couple of Super Bowl rings?
Sloppy quarterback play. Quarterback and the center need to be on the same page there. We got to get the ball snapped.
Why did you call a timeout?
Because we have a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of football. I expect us to get the ball snapped. Usually the clock goes from 3-2-1-0. Once it hits zero, they look at the ball, look at the clock. Usually have a tick once it hits zero to get the ball snapped.
Yeah, well, of course, he's right about all of this, and he's talking about the delay of game penalty with about 5 minutes ago in the third quarter with the game at 17-7. But what does saying all that do in a positive way for Ben McAdoo and the Giants? You think that Eli Manning doesn't know that that was a mistake? You think that Eli Manning's not capable of looking at the play clock? And when he's someone as respected as that and the coach is sloppy and we've got a veteran quarterback and I expect this stuff. It's not like he's got a history of being terrible with mismanaging the play clock. Yeah, he hasn't played well the first couple of weeks, but I don't think it's a good thing for a head coach now in his second year to be throwing that type of stuff out there at a post-game media conference when you're talking about, you know, an all-timer in Eli Manning.
Yeah, the last guy I want to alienate is my quarterback, and Eli understands that was a huge misstep for that offense in that situation, his team in that situation, and just trying to hang on to any kernel of positivity that they could possibly find. And for Ben McAdoo to take that route, he should have gone, oh, Jason Garrett, man, just clap or something. Yeah. I mean, that's the wrong guy to get on. Eli is he's keenly aware that cannot happen there. You're on the goal line. You've got to be aware of the situation. If it's a young quarterback in there, and we've talked about this for the last damn thing, he's worried about is the play clock. He's just trying to make sure he has the call correct and the snap count correct, and he gets the guys to the line of scrimmage, and then I got to read a defense. Well, you're on the goal line. You pretty much don't have to unless you're the Tennessee quarterback, Quentin Dormady, who calls a pass play when you're on the one-yard line, checks out of a run play, but that's neither here nor there. But Eli, the guy has been battle-tested. Leave him alone. You don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Eli knows that that cannot happen in that situation. And now for McAdoo, who is, as you mentioned, second year at the helm, and for him to come in and really throw shade at his quarterback, wow. I was surprised to hear those comments. And hopefully he will pull Eli's side. Like, listen, dog, my bad.
Yeah, that's one of those moments, I think, when you're emotional in that moment in front of the media and you wake up the next day and go, boy, I shouldn't have done that. I mean, that was not good. I got to go and talk to Eli about it. Just it does not look good for Ben McAdoo. I mean, it wouldn't have looked good for Tom Coughlin either if he had done that. It's just not a guy you go after. Now, especially now if Eli Manning had just happened four times to him in the game, or there's been a history of the first 2 weeks and the end of last year of him letting the play clock run out in key situations, and Ben McAdoo had finally had enough of it, then fine. But in this particular situation, I thought the Monday Night Football broadcast didn't do enough to point out how bad that was, though. It was a bad moment. I don't think the coach needs to call out the quarterback, but it was a terrible moment for that offense.
Yeah, they mentioned it, John Gruden said that, you know, there's definitely something that can't happen, and anybody that knows football is up on that notion, and they, you know, they didn't want to beat Eli Manning as much as beat him over the top of the head about it as much as his head coach did.
Yeah,
but they mentioned it, and anybody who's watching the game that knows the game was sitting there shaking their head. Are you really? First, you get a holding call
right
down there.
Mm-hmm.
That's inexcusable. And now you allow the play clock to go down. That, you know, compounds the situation, especially when you have a veteran quarterback, a seasoned quarterback, guy that's won two Super Bowls.
Yeah, they had all the players from, or most of the players from that 2007 team out there. They were celebrating the Super Bowl 42 victory. Eli Manning to David Tyree, then to Plaxico. I think still the most impressive postseason run in NFL history, what they were able to do in knocking off the Cowboys and the divisionals and going into Lambeau, an NFC championship game, into freezing cold, and then, of course, taking out the undefeated New England Patriots. But it almost looked like Eli should have taken off his pads and just put on the jersey and joined them, because all those other guys were done in their career.
That's, remember when we were good. Yeah.
You know, I had totally forgotten about as a player was Antonio Pierce until I saw him last night. Yeah, I know. He was a really good player. I had just totally forgotten about the guy. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that's right, Antonio Pierce.
Oh, they had a good linebacking corps.
Yeah, it's nothing worse when you have like a celebration like that and it just falls flat. Like, think about, we saw a couple of ones turn out the other way, a good way. The Atlanta Falcons open up the new stadium, and they're able to celebrate that in a more somber tone. The Steelers at home against the Vikings and Dan Rooney, they're honoring him. It's the first home game without Dan Rooney, and they go out and beat the snot out of the Minnesota Vikings. And then you have this one where everybody's going nuts. They're celebrating 2007.
Yeah.
They come back 0-1. People are fired up. It's still nice weather in New York. And then
they went
brutal
from going nuts at the beginning of that ball game to booing after the initial series.
Yeah.
Like the play called it, the Giants don't pick up a first down. They're already booing. It's like they couldn't wait to pounce, the Giants fans.
Yeah, I still, the Lions, I can't trust them yet. And I don't think that they're one of those teams that I have to see them now go and win a playoff game or two for me to believe that they're anything I need to pay attention to. And it's just so tough when you've got Aaron Rodgers in that division as well for me to trust them. That's why last night to me was more about the Giants than it was the Lions.
Well, I like the Lions and what they're putting together. I think they said there's 24, 25 new players on that roster. They look a hell of a lot faster. You got Riddick, a former wide receiver at the running back position at Notre Dame. You got Amir Abdullah out of Nebraska, a hell of an athlete. He's small in stature, but he ran with so much power last night. I just don't recall him running like that when he was at Nebraska. He could scoot, make you miss and embarrass you, break some ankles. But the power in which he ran with, running behind his pads, that was impressive. Now, the key for them and Amir Abdullah specifically, stay healthy. We're two games into this thing. It's a long season, of course. So if they can stay healthy and then they can spread you out with the speed, they have a tailback. You got Marvin Jones, excellent wide receiver. Still can't understand why Cincinnati Bengals allowed him to walk. And you got Ebro. Now looks like he may be coming into his own. And defensively, they got some studs that can get after the quarterback. I love Jared Davis. I hope he's okay, probably in the concussion protocol after that push in the back by Odell Beckham, and then he ran it head first into the ball carrier. So this guy can fly around. One of my favorite players ever out of the University of Florida a year ago. So they've got some great talent on this football team. Can they stay healthy, and can they become a consistent football team?
I think Carson Palmer is done. Is Eli getting close to that, or is he a victim of an offensive line that's not doing its job and a running game? I don't know. The Giants are probably going to figure this out by the end of the season.
I'm loving this.
Oh, of course you are. Well, I mean, especially after the pathetic performance. And that's another thing to think
about.
That
it wasn't pathetic.
Oh, it was just awful.
Just got beat.
Brutal. Just an ass whooping. but the fact that the
Denver, talk about my Cowboys, America.
The Denver Broncos went and put a whooping on that Dallas defense, and the Giants' offense looked the way it did against that Dallas defense.
Well, Dallas didn't have any secondary left. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they were tired.
Yeah,
they've been reading their press clippers after they beat the Giants.
Altitude, right?
It was that. Yeah, have you ever played that altitude? You think you breathe at sea level?
Yeah, that one year I spent with the Chiefs.
Yeah,
we went there. I remember.
Hard time breathing sea level. Try that altitude. Yeah. I remember the first time I played altitude.
I had 10 carries, 40 yards. I thought my role would be bigger.
But I looked like that sea creature that washed up after Harvey. That's what I looked like trying to breathe at altitude the first time. Yeah.
That thing was gray, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what I looked like. Oh, okay. I turned gray.
855-212-4CBS. You think Eli's done? 855-212-4227. Just getting started. We're coming right back.
Give us a call right now. 855-212-4CBS.
And someone on Twitter thought we were hypocrites for saying that, you know, Jason Garrett should say more about his guys, you know, when he's angry about the performances. He didn't say enough, but then we criticized Ben McAdoo for calling out his quarterback.
No.
Every circumstance is different.
And there's a way to do it.
Jason Garrett never says anything ever. When there's a lot of controversial things that happen in the organization, he never says a thing about it. He defers. He's just somebody. He's a puppet. But with Ben McAdoo, he's also got younger players. I mean, he's got two second-year players at two of his most important positions on offense, which is a little bit different than a guy who's won two Super Bowls,
right,
and has been in the league since 2004.
Yes.
So,
and we always say there are a ton of personalities in the locker room, and you don't treat everyone the same. And you especially don't call out your Super Bowl, two-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback.
Not in that fashion.
Two-time.
Yep.
You don't do that. There's a way to approach him and a way to handle that situation. And this guy has – Eli Manning's forgotten more football than we know, and he understands the magnitude of that mistake in that particular situation. So for Ben McAdoo to go out there, who hadn't done anything as a head coach to speak of, he got him to the playoffs last year, okay. But really, what has he done? for him to drop his quarterback in the grease like that, that was just wrong. Oh, you go out and say, hey, it was a big mistake. That shouldn't happen. Next question.
Before we get to Bogish, Andre in Sacramento wants to weigh in on Eli Manning. Andre, you're on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Well.
I'm actually, I don't think Eli Manning is done. Reminds me of the Cowboys a few years ago. Even when they had Romo, they were okay. But last year when they got Elliott, their offense just went off. So I think Romo just needs, you know, help running the ball. And maybe if they could pick up someone that's available, like I think LeGarrette Blount is available, just bring some more power to the running game.
Yeah, I think you got Eli and Romo confused there in the end, but I know what you're saying. You know, I don't know how easy that is. You got to remember where LeGarrette Blount is right now. So, I mean, he didn't get cut yesterday. I missed it.
Right.
I mean, he's with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
You think the Giants and the Eagles are going to make a trade within a division?
Nah.
So
don't they play each other next two?
Yeah, they do.
That next ain't week. Happening, dog.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he got released, sure. I mean, that happens all the time.
Right.
A guy within the division gets released, another team in the division picks him up.
Yeah, maybe he'll go and hang out with Le'Veon. They'll smoke a few and he'll get released.
Listen, if that's right. That did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a big conspiracy there. That, well, remember, he didn't get cut for smoking. He got cut for leaving the sideline.
Oh, that's right, sideline. Yeah.
That was orchestrated by Bill Belichick.
Uh-huh.
That's what you do. You leave the sideline. That's going to tick off Tomlin.
I promise you, we're going to pick you up.
Get cut. And then we'll pick you right up.
Become insubordinate, and we'll pick you up.
I think that's
what exactly happened.
I'm telling you, man, it did.
Boom.
It did. But if Jerry Reese, the Giants general manager, couldn't fix their issues in the offseason running back and offensive line, you're telling me before the trade deadline he's going to be able to pick guys up off a scrap heap? And everybody knows if you're going to make a deal now and they know that the Giants offensive line stinks, I mean, they're going to fleece him for everything that they have as far as draft picks and anything else. So it's going to be very tough to fix those issues with adding personnel. Andrew Bogish is here with an update.
Bogus!
Hey, man.
Good morning, my best friends. Odell Beckham Jr. made his season debut on Monday Night Football, so he got to see the Giants suck on offense up close and personal. He didn't provide any detailed solutions after the 24-10 loss to the Lions in Jersey.
Stay positive. Stay with each other. And just get better each and every day. We're only going to go where we take it, so it's up to us. It's in our hands.
Even Russell Wilson thought that was cheesy. Beckham caught only 4 passes for 36 yards. His team stayed close to the Lions with defense, but not enough offense. Eli Manning sacked 5 times, threw a pick that led to Detroit's second touchdown, and took a bad delay of game penalty in the third that forced the Giants to settle for a field goal. They are 0-2. Matt Stafford's team is 2-0.
We did a nice job. You know, a couple times tonight, getting it in the end zone early, and let our defense kind of do what they're doing, man. They're playing really at a high level at the moment.
Stafford threw touchdown passes to Marvin Jones and Eric Ebron. Ziggy Ansah had 3 of those 5 sacks. The Colts have ruled out Andrew Luck in his shoulder for week 3. Falcons linebacker Vic Beasley reportedly out a month with a hamstring tear.
Wow.
And Cowboys coach Jason Garrett says he'll meet with Ezekiel Elliott to discuss the running back's lack of effort in Sunday's loss in Denver. Elliott twice chose not to pursue a Bronco that had just picked off Dak Prescott. The Yankees won. The Red Sox were down 5, but Boston rallied to Baltimore.
2-2 pitch. Swing ground ball right side. Through for a base hit. Here comes one run. Here comes Bogaerts to throw to the plate. Cut off. A 2-run single. Andrew Benintendi and the Red Sox lead 10-8.
That's Joe Castiglione on Red Sox Radio. Boston a 10-8 win in 11 in Baltimore to stay 3 games ahead of the Yankees in the AL East. New York held off Minnesota 2-1. The Diamondbacks losing their second straight, 4-2 in San Diego. A 4-3 loss for the Dodgers in Philly, and the Brewers beat the Pirates 3-0. Milwaukee's now 2 games behind idle Colorado for the second NL wild card, 3.5 behind the Cubs in the Central. And Andrew Bogut is signing a 1-year deal with the Lakers worth the veterans' minimum of $2.3 million. Bogut missed the end of last season after breaking his leg in his Cavs debut in February. Guys?
All right, Bogut, thanks. So, Brian, you made a couple of predictions before the season. And,
did I?
Yeah, and
did you make some?
I did not make as many as you. No,
oh, I made a lot.
Right, you did, because you did a lot of the. I didn't do the playoff, the college thing was the one you had to do more because you do the college football analysis
sometimes.
Yes, you do a little bit of that.
Uh-huh.
But in the NFL when we had to do that video.
Yeah.
We had to pick a Super Bowl representative from each conference.
Mm-hmm.
We had to pick a surprise team.
Yeah.
And your surprise team was the Cincinnati Bengals in a good way.
Yeah.
And they've been surprising in a bad way.
I said I'm going to be surprised if they start 2-0.
Yeah. Well.
Instead of 0-2.
Right.
Yeah. And that was before Burfict was suspended, right?
You know what? I was thinking about that stat just now. Didn't the Bengals got shut out the first 2 weeks. How could that stat be right? I got to go back and read that.
What was
the Giants not being able to score points. Maybe it was a yardage thing. I'm not sure. But it couldn't have been points because the Bengals got shut out the first 2 weeks.
Okay, my surprise team stinks right now. Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
And the other one was you picked the Giants to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, man, a lot of football left. Ton of football left. Now, who was your surprise team?
Oh, they haven't scored a touchdown. That's what I'm sorry. They haven't scored a touchdown. They didn't get shut out.
Right.
They hadn't scored a touchdown.
Your surprise team was?
The Cowboys in a bad way, I said.
Oh.
Still, jury's still out.
Oh, okay. And your NFC representative was?
That was the Packers. Wasn't really going out on a limb.
Oh, so, okay.
Packers. So one,
yeah,
one and either. One.
Yeah.
Rough week last week.
Yeah. That was rough. All right. So you telling me I got a chance?
No. Well,
no?
I guess you do. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, okay.
Maybe. But. All right. It just doesn't, you know. And then you pick two teams in your original playoff that lost in the first couple of weeks.
Which is fine. That was baked in the cake.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Because Florida State and Auburn, they can get back in this thing.
Inside the cake.
It was was baked into the cake. Yeah.
We both had a good week of picks. I think you ended up 4-2.
Yep.
And I ended up 5-1.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good week.
You had a better week.
I did.
Yep.
This is the rubber match here in the – I won the picks last year. You killed me the first year.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big one.
Year this is three, huge.
The rubber match for all the marbles.
So are we counting week one or no?
Yeah, we are because we made picks. We just
and
flipped it around.
Who won that week?
I did.
You won that?
I'm 9-3.
9-3. And I am?
5. I don't know what
you are.
You were 1-4-1, right? The first week.
Ah, okay.
1-4-1 and
okay.
4-2. So you're 5-6-1.
What?
Yep.
5-6-1?
Yep. Because you were 1-4-1 in the first week. Terrible first week.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
It's all right. You bounce back in week two for crying out loud.
Four game lead on me, man? That sucks.
Yeah, well, get used to it, man.
Oh, get used to it.
Get used to it.
Whatever.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Evan Ingram last night catches that touchdown pass. And I used to blame the NFL and the officials when flags were thrown on celebrations because it was a stupid rule. But now that they've loosened up on that and said that there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do now in celebrating.
Matter of fact, we did it here.
Right.
We gave them some ideas, right?
We did. We shot videos of us celebrating. And they give you a specific group of things you can't do.
Right.
If you do one of those things, now you're the idiot. So things have changed because the NFL has said you're allowed to do all this stuff. You can do group celebrations, whatever. Just don't do any sexual things.
Right.
And then Evan Ingram blatantly grabs his junk.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get the 15-yard penalty.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Come on.
Come on. Come on, dog. Now, you know, the first little dance he was doing, that was cool. I don't know what that's called, but it was cool. And then, he had to go and do that.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Why? Who do you think you are? Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, not a good
one. What's wrong with you?
Right.
Can't do that. I mean, Joe Buck's kids are watching.
Oh.
Are you crazy?
Man, I hated that take from Joe Buck back
then. Oh, I did too. That's why I just brought it up.
That's the worst.
My kids are watching, Reggie.
Yeah,
you're rubbing your booty on the goalpost.
I know, a fake moon? Come on.
Yeah, come on.
This is worse than a fake moon.
Yeah.
Crotch grab.
Come on, dog.
I couldn't get to sleep because of that.
I was tossing and turning.
Oh, it's terrible. But it
really?
Is. But I mean, still, it's not the biggest deal in the world. But do any number of a gazillion things you're allowed to
right.
do. Get a little creative. You don't have to grab your junk in
Say
the end zone.
Say that for the club, man. What's wrong with you? Say that for catch when you're doing a dance off.
Yeah, with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And Odell Beckham Jr.
What the heck was that? That's just stupid. You give him a sharp feel and all. Come on. Ingram, you're better than. Well, he went to Ole Miss. Maybe not better than that.
Oh, jeez.
Mm.
Coming up next, an odd story with an NFL linebacker who went AWOL. He's okay, but what happened? We're coming right back.
on CBS Sports Radio.
Lawrence Timmons is a guy I got to know a little bit while I was in Pittsburgh. He really was just an everyday dude, meaning that not that all NFL players are different, but just there's some guys that like to live the celebrity lifestyle and will be flying around. Like Antonio Brown is a perfect example of that. He's taken advantage of, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he's taken advantage of his fame and his great play and his money, and he's doing everything that I would probably do in that situation. But Lawrence Timmons, you could see him at the local bar playing darts after practice on a Wednesday, and he'd just be there hanging out, talk to people, never took himself too seriously, and was always willing to do interviews and a good guy. So when I heard this story, it was more concerning to me and more personal to me than if it were another player. And if you haven't seen it, of course, with the Miami Dolphins now, he is out in L.A. to take on the Chargers. Mm-hmm. The Dolphins taking on the Chargers, and he just goes missing.
They've been there for a week. They escaped Florida because of Hurricane Irma, and they're preparing out there after their first game of the season was postponed. And they're up in Oxnard, a place I know fairly well. From my days with the L.A. Raiders, that's where we held training camp. The Cowboys hold training camp there now. And so the guy's up there, and everything's fine. They reported no problems. And I'm getting all this firsthand from Joe Rose. I did his show after our show yesterday when I was down in Miami. And he said, you know, he queried the coaches, players. The guy's been going about his business, had a good training camp, practice was going well in Oxnard, and then, boom, this happens.
Yeah, he doesn't show up. Team doesn't know where he is. Doesn't inform the team of where he's going at all. And he ends up being found at LAX. A team representative went to LAX. He was trying to fly back to Pennsylvania because he said he wanted to see his kid. And it's just the reason why it's alarming is it just a guy who's played in the NFL that long and taken that many hits, and what we know about what it can do to players, doesn't always do, but what can do to players. You wonder if, at a very young age, that's playing into this decision to abandon the team, because he's never been a guy who would ever do something like that. And that's why if you look at all the Steelers players and their reaction to it, I mean, they were really, really worried about the guy because they know him. Yeah. Because all he wants to do is show up and play. That's all he's ever wanted to do. So the fact that he bolts out of nowhere like this, that means there's something severely wrong. So we'll see if we see him the rest of the year. I'm sure he's going to have to go through some sort of test to make sure everything's okay. But I'm hoping for the best. I hope this is something that is isolated and doesn't mean more. But it's such a weird thing.
It is
weird.
It is scary. It's so out of character for the for Timmons. And as I said, no problems whatsoever. He showed up at the team walkthrough Saturday, and then they couldn't locate him. So it's very odd and strange, and we were having fun with the story because I signed with the Dolphins as a Plan B free agent back in 92, and they had a situation where one of the players, Alfred Oglesby, defensive lineman, came up missing, and he said he had been kidnapped. And which was a huge ruse. He just didn't want to draw the ire of Don Shula. And it was a huge, big story. So we were having fun with this yesterday, as you might imagine, on the Joe Rose Show, because they are like us. They like to clown around. But this is so serious, and this is so strange. And as you mentioned, those who know him best there in Pittsburgh were just shocked by this, and they are there in Miami as well, because there were no signs, no signals whatsoever that something like this may occur.
Yeah, so you hope for the best, and I'm sure it's a situation that's going to need some time. I'd be shocked if we saw him back on the field, like, immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that you got to take some time. Even if this was something that didn't have to do with brain injury or CTE, I think that you still got to give him a week.
Yeah.
You know, at least to figure out where he's at. And from that game, also, the game that ended in the missed field goal by our buddy Younghoe Koo, Anthony Lynn getting questions about the situation at kicker. Nick Novak has made it known that he can still do some kicking.
Put me in, coach.
And Anthony Lynn says, no, we're sticking with Younghoe for the
Younghoe, man.
I'm sorry, Younghoe
for
the time being. So I'd love to get Anthony Lynn's reaction off the record about those two losses. You know? I mean, you probably did.
No,
but
I haven't.
I'd like to hear.
I have not bothered him. No.
Yeah.
He's got enough to deal with being 0-2. So, no. I've steered away from that. I've wanted to, but no, I'm not going to do it.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I don't understand, and there's never going to be any answer to this, but I cannot figure out why certain franchises, no matter how much you change everything, still have the same crap happen to them. And the Chargers are in that number, too. It's not just the teams that I root for. I always bring up how the Vikings, I mean, it's amazing. You think about the Vikings week one, Sam Bradford mm-hmm. plays the best game of his life, and then all of a sudden he's out week two, and it does, you don't even know about it until like Thursday. But the San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers, and when they were in San Diego, how many like losses like this have they had? You could go back to Marty Schottenheimer and that era. And then to now, it seems like constantly.
And whether it was regular season or postseason, I remember that one game in the postseason versus the Patriots, and LT got into it with the Patriots players there in San Diego. I guess he didn't like the way they were celebrating at the end of the game or whatever. We should have asked LT about that. But they have always come up with the short end of the stick or on the short end of the stick for some reason. I have no idea why they can't get over that. A proverbial hump.
It's just amazing how many things change. I mean, mm-hmm. you think about organizations, and I mean, the Vikings have a new stadium, new players, new coaches. The same stuff happens to them.
Yeah,
you look at the Chargers move, for crying out loud, to a different city, and the same stuff is happening to them.
Don't get it right. I think they're a pretty good football team, and it was interesting. Everyone was talking about whether or not fans would show up. That little 30,000 seat stadium looked packed to me versus the Dolphins, and they were into it. Fans are like they were into that ball game. I know everyone's putting these photos out comparing or combining the Rams attendance and the Chargers attendance and juxtapose that with USC versus Texas the other night. And, wow. Yes, USC packed the house. Texas had a good following. And that's something else Joe Rose brought up because my Longhorns faithful took over the hotel where the Dolphins were staying. So a lot of people traveled out to that ball game. But for the Rams, you expect them not to – packed the house. They had 55,000, 56,000. But the Chargers, that's good. They had 30,000 people show up. Good for them. Place looked packed.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what to make of either one of those teams. I think that you can't really judge them until that new stadium is there. And
you can judge the Rams. You can go ahead and judge them.
Well, I'm talking.
They're going to have to win. That,
the popularity.
Yeah.
Well, the Rams also had a built-in fan base there. You know, and that's I'm not talking about how good the team is, but more rather. You know, how they're going to go over
but
in that
was
market.
So long ago. I mean, they're trying to attract the fans that weren't aware of the Rams when they were playing there in Anaheim. I mean, when did they leave? That had to have been 90, mid-90s when they left?
95, I want to say.
Somewhere around there, right. When they went to St. Louis. So now they're trying to attract a whole other generation.
Yeah.
And the only way you're going to do that is if you win.
Yeah, right. But you also had two teams leave there already, which is funny because usually in most circumstances, you say you have to learn from history, right? You know, and you don't let history repeat itself. You have to learn from it. And the NFL had two teams in L.A. Now, it was a different era. That's why I think it's going to change now, a different era of NFL football. But you had two teams leave there. So I think that – and everybody – and we talked about this last week. I mean, those photos that are going out there, I mean, the only reason why – those photos happen is because people are so turned off by the NFL's greed that they want it to fail miserably. And they jump to conclusions like
right.
These two teams are never going to make it because of a couple of photos of attendance
right.
Early on in their tenure. When that brand new beautiful stadium opens and they do a whole big to-do with that, and nobody's showing up, then come to
right.
Me and tell me that it's not working.
And quit pointing out the ratings were down week one. Well, when you're dealing with major storms, Harvey and then Irma, okay, take those out of the equation. Let's see if the viewership is back. Everyone is trying to find a reason to doubt the NFL.
Yeah, and that's that argument now, it's way more than just the ratings are down from last year. It's much more nuanced than that, because you cannot, especially with all the streaming services that you have, that TV ratings these days are just different. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could watch games via the NFL mobile app. You could do all sorts of things.
And are you measuring the viewership at establishments, bars, restaurants?
No.
No, you're not. You're just measuring the old-fashioned way in the households.
Yeah, the NFL is strong, and it's going to remain strong. The people who argue that the NFL's in trouble, find me one guy that you know that was an NFL fan and then is not now. Can anybody find that person? No. I don't know. I mean, I know that I am in a group or have friends who have similar interests as me, and of course we talk about the NFL, we play fantasy football. I mean, maybe I'm unique. But I think that once you're an NFL fan, you stay an NFL fan.
No, I had to wean myself off of it. I had to go to rehab. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
NFL rehab?
Yeah. It was good, too.
But you watch it now.
No. I agree with your theory. If you were one, you know, you've been one for a while, you're still one.
There's no reason to stop watching.
Yeah.
Like, baseball, I'll give you... The attention spans have changed, and you're not going to get maybe as many people watching three-hour baseball games every single night as people used to, you know, back in the 50s and 60s. It's different, or even in the 80s or 90s. These games are long. People want condensed. That's why they put these games up, like they do a rewind or whatever in an hour on some of these regional sports networks. That there's a reason why people would stop watching that. I get it. But football, what's the reason? Everyone wants to create these guys are taking knees and what?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Ridiculous.
Nobody's not watching football. Everybody watches football. Everybody talks. It's all anybody talks about.
Right. I can't wait for football.
Football.
You need that football.
It's
you
everywhere.
Want that football. You got to have it.
It's football.
Yeah, football.
The kids are not playing football, so football's going to go away.
Right. You don't play it, you got to watch it and wish you were playing it.
I just
but happy you're not.
We got to get to a point where we can agree that playing football can be dangerous and is dangerous,
yeah.
But also it's something that's not going to go away. We got to, because driving a car is also dangerous. And you can get into accidents and hurt yourself, but it's not going away. We got to get to that point, as opposed to always saying, because it's dangerous, now it's going to go away. Stop. Stop. Stop.
I'm with him. Yeah, stop. Three times. Stop. Stop.
Coming up next, Jason Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, and effort. We'll discuss it on Geo and Jones, CBS Sports Radio.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.